So one of the things that when we planted, one of the things that we talked about a lot was what we were going to be known for. And, you know, the week of May 5th, 2009, something happened in our community, our family, where the death of the Colemans happened here in Columbia. And it's almost been 11 years, and our relationship with the Colemans and relationship with our church, Destiny Church at the time, really rocked us as a community. And that week, we were a part of a prayer gathering that was happening. And that prayer gathering, there was two specific things that were spoken over me and my wife Kelly's life. And not being from Columbia, when you come into a new town, you know, you're not from there, right? So you're making a name for yourself, you're getting to know the community, and two of the words that were spoken over our life is, where there's been death in Columbia, you'll bring life, and they'll receive you as their own. And to us, those are two pivotal words that were prophetically spoken over our lives that are so powerful, and it's the reason we are Life Community Church. Community is not just a fun word that we throw in the middle and we're getting, you know, in trouble. And so we got to say all three names. It's, we believe that life happens in community, and that makes up the church. If you look at Jesus and his life, there was moments where the crowd gathered. In fact, the Bible tells us at times there's 5,000, and that was men. There's 10,000 people that are listening to what Jesus is saying. But then there's a moment where Jesus removes himself, grabs a couple guys, 12 guys, and he starts doing life, and he starts teaching, and he starts doing these things. So we believe in the power of the crowd rose. We believe in this moment right here on Sunday mornings where we can get together, and we believe something awesome happens in this moment, but then we also believe that something powerful happens when you get in circles, when you get around people. And here's the big thing, and this is what we need to hear. In rows, you can hide. In circles, you cannot. And this is what usually intimidates people, because you and I naturally, we want to hide. And it's impossible when we get in circles. And this was Jesus' point. When he's looking at the life of Peter and these other disciples, he's going, guys, listen, there's so much more. There's so much more to your life. And so I just want us, as we head into this season of life groups, where we understand that community is so important for us as a church.
Yeah, it's good. And obviously, one of the reasons why, when Pastor Jamie and I, 5 years ago, when he called me and said, hey, would you be interested in coming and joining Life Community Church? One of the things was, how is it going to work? You know, I was coming from a lead pastor position at that point, yet at the same time, didn't feel like that was necessarily my gift setting. I didn't want to be the guy up the face, so to speak, in a good way, every Sunday morning and kind of deal. And so we kind of talked about that. What does that look like? And my heart, my desire is to help people connect relationally, because it is so important for us, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're not connecting relationally, we're not truly desiring to be a discipler or move in the direction that Jesus wants to move. We have to be intentional to move in that direction. So as we talked, like, he's like, hey, this is a good thing. Like, I heard his heart as in, like, man, circles are so important. I need someone to focus on that. Circles are a big part of how we're going to grow Life Community Church, like he just talked about. I need somebody to focus on that. And it's oftentimes kind of like you're hearing about here and there and all that kind of good stuff, but it's so important at some point when you're like, man, I want to take the next step. I want to go further in my relationship with Christ. Sunday morning has been great, but where do I go after that? We got to be intentional about being face-to-face, where we're speaking, somebody else is speaking, things are being heard, and our lives are being changed. Listen, it is so hard to grow spiritually, and oftentimes why people decide, you know what, like, I'm not feeling it anymore. I've been there for 5 years, I've been there for 10 years, and like, which I feel like it would be hard to say that here at this church, but I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm going to go listen to a preacher. I'm going to move on. And I would say to you this, God is desiring to move you in a direction of growing spiritually, yet you don't want to take the next step. You don't want to connect relationally. And you cannot grow spiritually. You can, but there's going to be a cap to you growing spiritually if you don't choose to move forward relationally with some new people, some new circles. And so both of those are important.
Well, this is where we were 5 years ago, as I'm actually driving to Freeburg High School, and and I'm praying about us as a church. We had just gotten into this building, and we had gone so far as far as life groups went. And my background, when I went to Omaha, Nebraska, we were part of a church that believed strongly in life groups. They believed strongly in small groups. Like, we had several hundred kids that came on Wednesday night, students that came on Wednesday night, and 90% of them were involved in a small group. 90% of youth were involved in a small group outside of a Wednesday night setting on Sunday nights in their community. They're involved in these small groups, and I saw the benefit of that. So when we came to plant, it was like, this is a no-brainer. And as I'm driving to Freeburg, and I'm sitting in the parking lot, I'm on the phone with Sean, and I'm going, listen, we've gone as far as we can. Listen, there's always going to be a moment where you need to ask someone to take you to the next step. Like, you're going to have to look at someone and say, listen, I've gone as far as I can. Like, I need your help to push us to another direction. And I'm so grateful for that moment where we were in a position as a church to go, no, this the moment where this is important. This is valuable in what we're doing. And then we have to realize, too, like, why don't we? And I think this is the question that you and I have to answer. Like, if you're not involved in a small group, so I'm talking to two different people. If you're not involved in a small group, why? Like, answer that question honestly. And then if you are and you believe in small groups, how are you letting that be known? Like, how are you letting it be known, like, this is vital to not just your health, but the health of us as a church? Like, this is, I would even say this, and this might be a bold statement. As our life group goes, so do life community church goes. I don't see this knocking, okay? But I think it's, I shouldn't say it. Okay.
What I love about
you
this.
Twist that arm. I think it's easy to gather a crowd. If I went on Facebook right now and said, come to Life Community Church next week, I'm giving everybody $50, we're going to have a crowd.
I'm coming. Come on, Pastor.
I'm just saying, we're going to have a crowd. I'm not knocking you if you showed up today. I'm just saying, gathering a crowd is easy. Doing life with people and them seeing your junk is hard. But what will get you through is doing community. Because this is how you and I, whether you believe this or not, this is how you and I are wired. We are wired to not do life alone. We are wired to do life with other people. And I, myself as well, I've relied on an excuse that maybe it's just not how I'm wired, or maybe it's just not where I am in my life. And so I've knocked it. For us to grow as a church, we have to go small. And it's the only way. It's the only way.
So I've gotten a few questions that I'd like for Jamie and I to respond to, and I'm going to let him start with the first question. And this is one thing I love about our Pastor Jamie, our pastor's life is he is very much connected in a life group. He's not saying something to you that he's not doing. And so my question for him this morning as we start, 9:45, we're doing great.
We're doing good.
And so as we start is, how has life groups impacted your life? How's life groups impacted your life?
Well, similar to what I just said, is like you cannot hide in a life group. At some point, your feeling is going to come out. So if I'm going through something in my life, I might go in with the intent, like, I'm not going to share this. I don't want anybody to know. I don't need to be judged. I don't need to let people know what's really going on. But at some point, that's going to you're hiding. At some point, that's going to come out. And to me personally, the direct questions from people when you're not doing good has radically changed how I do life with people. People know when you're not you.
It's good.
Right? You're like, whoa, what happened to you today? I'm Mr. Smiley. And we say things like, well, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or we excuse it away, right? It's like, so to me, how it's impacted my life is it's brought people in, and you have to do this. You have to give people permission. Like, you're not going to show up to a life and be like, this is the best thing ever, and then stay closed-minded. You have to walk into a life group and go, I'm willing to trust you and trust my life. And so, like, that's hard. That's hard. Why? Because people are people. You and I, trust has been broken. Anybody have a friend burn them? Like anybody? Like today? Okay. So, I mean, so hard. So we ease it by going, God, I don't want to do life alone. I need people. And I've clung to Ecclesiastes. I mean, this passage in Ecclesiastes 4 is so important. I originally said, Sean, we should act this out, but I'm not going to.
No, we're not.
Especially that
one
part. We
are both wearing jean jackets, so.
Yeah, I mean, some people expect that. But anyway, especially the likewise, two people lying close together can keep you.
I left that in notes.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was just kidding.
All right. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. This is what I want us to see. Likewise, two people lying close together, we understand this illustration, can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Like, we lean in on the fact that this is life groups right here. Two quick statements. Relationships are essential for our well-being. And hear this, we have to say this too. Relationships and living these relationships will be both painful and rewarding. They will be both. I'm not telling you today, sign up for a life group and watch all your problems disappear. I'm not telling you to sign up and meet the best friends of your life. I am telling you, sign up and find someone that you'll never do life alone again. And that's the value. To me, that's the impactful part, is that I know I'm not in something alone. And you guys have said this to us a lot, but maybe you hear it again. We need to ask honest questions of one another. Like, when I give people permission to speak in my life, there's one quick question that you ask people. And this is very important. Are you for me or are you against me? Like, I'm not afraid to ask that question. You're going to come give advice. The first thing I'm going to say to you, are you for me or are you against me? Because if you're against me, I'm not listening to what you're about to tell me. I'm listening because you're not for me. If you're for me, I will allow you to start things. Because when you're for me, we'll get there. We will get there. I'll hear what you're saying because you are for me. That means you're willing to walk through whatever it is that I'm going through so that I get on the other side. If you're against me, you're willing to. You want to humiliate me. You want to make yourself look better. You're feeding your insecurity. You're not feeding me. Big difference. So I think that's very important. If someone says, hey, I have a couple things that I want to bring to your attention, you first thing you say to them is, are you for me or against me? Do you want my job? Because if you want my job right now, I'm telling you right now, you are not for me. Is that dangerous? Absolutely it is. It is very dangerous. There's no way we should allow people to speak into our lives that do not have permission to speak into our lives. Well, isn't that unchristian? No. That is called wisdom and a life free of crazy. Anybody have a crazy friend? You know why they're crazy? Because you let them speak. To that I would go, what were you thinking? Right? We have to give people permission to do that. Did I have a question? That was a long answer. Very short question.
No, it's good. And I love you. And let me just add, you know, just very practically, you know, when you walk in here, especially if you've been just a part of our community for the last 3 months, 2 months, or a month, you know, we hear this all the time. Man, it feels like home here. It feels like family here. And the reason, one of the top reasons why it feels like home, it feels like family, is there's so many people in this room that are connected outside of Sunday morning. They're connected relationally. They understand what's going on. They get what's going on in marriages. They get what's going on in financial situations and work situations. They're not coming in here as a stranger and then walking out. Like, they've said to the people here, I'm opening my life, as Pastor Jamie just said, I'm going to trust you. And signing up for a life group is a great place to start, because for some of us, we've opened ourselves up to people and we've been burnt, like I said, and it's hurt. And we're like, I'm going to tiptoe. And doing an environment like this where we have people that are like, you know what, we're going to walk with you. We're not going to hold this against you. This is about making marriage better, about making your finances better. This is about helping understand where God wants you to be in the future, all kind of things. And listen, if for a minute you're like, man, this is not feeling like home, I'd say, have you gone on Sundays? Have you connected relationally? Does someone know your story? Do you know someone else's story? And you're not going to get that story in a row. You're going to have to get under a row and get in a circle. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's not easy, right? But listen, our life group structure will help you. You don't have to go search for something. We got a lot of life group leaders that signed up and said, I'll host, I'll facilitate, I'll do whatever. I want to help people move forward spiritually, right? Your commitment is to connect relationally. And that's one of the things that I love so much about our church is it is home. Right? Because I'm connected relationally, because I know people. I love Life Community Church because not because it's a great job, not because it's a great church, but what makes it so great is the people I'm connected to, people that I will do life with for the rest of my life. Whether I'm here or Africa or wherever God takes me or does in my life, no matter what happens when I'm 40 now, 40 or 60, thanks. 40 or 60, right? I've made relationships here that are beyond a Sunday morning handshake. And listen, it is so important if you want a church to finally feel like home, to connect relationally, get beyond rows and get in circles. And the wisest man in the world, we talked about all summer last summer, said, listen, you got to be connected relationally. If you're not, you are weak. And in your weakness, you will fall. Things will go bad for you. It will be difficult. It will be hard. Help yourself out. Know somebody and be known. Know somebody and be known. You were never created to be outside of relationship. It's why when it all started, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's why God said, looked at Adam and said, listen, this is not good that you're alone. Let me create something, a woman for you that'll help you out. All the time I look at husbands, I'm like, why do you talk so poorly about your wife? You understand she was created to help you, and you're killing the very thing that's attempting to help you out. Like, this is what God created. This is what he formed. This is what we want. He created us to be in relationships. There's many things in life you'll never get through outside of relationships, right? Small group, community. It starts at home and then continues to go out. And then home begins to feel when you're with other people. And so be connected in community.
The only thing I would add in that moment before I ask him a question is like you and I don't have like marriage and work problems. And we say this all the time, like I don't have relationship problems. I don't have a marriage problem. I don't have work problems. I have a personal problem that I'm now bringing into my marriage. I have a personal problem that I'm now bringing into my work environment. That at any point, I no longer control what everybody else does. I can only control what I do. Like I am in control of what I do today, how what you say to me affects me. I'm in control of all those things. And I'm also in control in the relationships that I put myself into, the relationships that the people I hang out with. Because again, it is so important that we are intentional on how we do relationships. Like you're not going to, well, I just actually fell into this great best friend. No, it didn't accidentally happen. And so we're bringing all of these things to the table. And one of the things I wanted to ask Sean just to clarify, especially for the new people, but also for people that might be confused that have been around, like how do we do life groups? And this is church culture. I'm so grateful that churches all across our nation are getting into small groups. I'm so grateful that Jeff and Jody get into small groups, that our youth get into small groups. Like as a church, we stand this, but maybe you've come from another church, you've done small groups or life groups. And so I think it's important for us to go, this is how Life Community Church does small groups. So can you explain just...
Absolutely. Listen, there's a lot of different terms have been thrown around in regards to what life groups look like. But the most important thing is that you're in a life group. And our structure for life groups is very broad. Like, it's very broad. Like, we have groups, we launch groups twice a year, which just means we're trying to encourage people to get back in if they've got out of the habit, or for people who have never jumped in to jump, right? Some of our groups meet to 12 weeks long, and they're based around a book or a topic like parenting, finances, men, women, you know, all those kind of things. And they're a little shorter. And oftentimes we tell people like, hey, if you've never really jumped into a life group or life groups are new to you, that's a great place to start. It's 10, 12 weeks long, starts in February, ends in May, those kind of things. And then there's other groups that meet all year long. And they don't meet every single week. They meet like every month. And it's more based around just being family. They do crazy like we did just this morning and have fun, try to get to know each other. They meet in homes, not necessarily at the church. A lot of our 10 to 12 week groups meet right here at the church. That really gives you an opportunity. 2 or 3 hours to hang out. They do barbecues. They do miniature golf. They go to Ted Drew's. They go on vacation together. I mean, they get really connected. And then in that process, we really encourage them to focus on 4 things. As life group leaders, we say to them this: really try to just allow these 4 things to move freely and organically through your life group. SPN. Come on, man. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah. We need to encourage each other. Each other, like everyone encouraging each other, like lift each other up. Just be encouragers. We want you to pray together. At some point, somebody just be like, hey, listen, let's just pray. Let's get around the circle and pray. And our goal is not to like make things awkward for you or to force things, and our life group leaders are really good at just flowing with that. The next thing is we want you to get in the Word of God. We want you to read the Word of God together, Scripture, because it is our map. It drives us. It directs us. And the next thing is next steps. What's your next? Have you been baptized in water? What do you need to do financially? Is there someone that could help in marriage? So ESPN, encourage, Scripture, pray, and next steps. And our yearly groups just kind of focus on that and really talk more about the Sunday morning service. And so we've got just life groups. And when you get online, like, and you click, I want to sign up for a life group, there's going to be 40 life groups that show up. And you can just read through the descriptions. You're like, you know, I want to be just part of a 10, 12-week group. Or I want to be a jump in and be a part of a group that meets every monthly. And it's really just schedule. But the most important thing is just getting connected, right? And there's a life group leaders with life group T-shirts on through the building, and they're going to be in the well afterwards. And they would love to answer all of your questions in regards to life group. It's just ignoring the flies of being in your life group and just doing it. And so our 10 to 10 to 12 groups, they meet here a lot on Wednesday nights because there's a lot of other things going on with kids. And then obviously our monthly groups, they just meet throughout the year, homes and in different locations. And so
show up, join in, be real.
That's what we want. So show up, go ahead.
Join in, be real. So I want to close with this. About a year ago, I had a friend, Ray Bauman, send me a TED Talk. And it was a 14-minute TED Talk, and I've talked briefly to the guys about it, and we've talked a little bit as a church about it. But there's a specific part in this TED Talk, and I'll email it out in our group emails and stuff like that and put it out. Because it's so much, but it radically changes how we do community. And the whole premise of this TED Talk, they're talking about addiction. And why people have addiction. And they actually say, like, let's eliminate the word addiction and really call it bonding, because that's really what it is. That you and I, we have a bonding issue. So I might be bonding to a drug, or I might be bonding to alcohol, or I might be bonding to an unhealthy relationship. But really, our lives are really all about bonding. And they took this study in the early 1900s where they took a rat and they put him in a cage. And they gave a water bottle and a water bottle that was laced with cocaine. They put this rat in this, and every time he's choosing the water bottle with cocaine. These rats they're putting rats in, they're ODing. I mean, it's just like you put a rat in, they're choosing that one all the time. 2 options. And a professor out of Vancouver named Bruce Alexander in the 70s comes in and says, we're doing this all wrong. Let's take that cage. Let's put that same rat in there. Let's put the water in it and the other water bottle laced with cocaine. But let's add other elements. Let's add other rats. Let's add a park where they can have fun. Add cheese. Let's add all of these things. And 98% of the time, they never chose that water bottle with cocaine. And if they did, that 2% that did, they never overdosed. And his point was this: we don't have an addiction problem. We have a purpose problem. The point isn't that you and I get addicted, because he talks through, it is fascinating. He takes 20% of the guys that were in Vietnam were addicted to heroin. When they came home from Vietnam, 95% of them just stopped. And his point was your environment. Your environment while you're in Vietnam, there's unknown. There's all these things happening. And you choose drug, but you come home and you just stop. No rehab, no counseling, environment. So There's actually a country in Europe called Portugal who was the worst in drugs. And in 2000, they said, we can't keep doing what we're doing. We're the worst. Heroin is running rampant in our country. And we've taken the American way, which was drug-free. Throw money at anti-drugs. It says, listen, we got to do something radically different. This is what they did. They started putting the money that they're doing in anti-drugs, and they started putting it towards counseling and purpose and jobs and small businesses. So if you're a mechanic and you wanted to start a small business, they paid you to start that small business. And what they found in 15 years, 50% of the country, they became 50% better, not on drugs. 50, 50% from the worst in Europe to 50% of people in their country stopped doing drugs. And their point was this: when you have purpose and when you have community, you will do great things. It's fascinating to me. This is where we are as Americans, right? We are the most connected yet disconnected country in the world. We have information all in front of us, and we're super connected, yet we find ourselves super disconnected in doing life, in making relationships, in doing community. And here's my bold statement to us today. As a church, this is not a optional thing. It's what Pat said in the video. This is not an optional thing. This is us as a church going, I'm done hiding. This is us as a church going, I'm getting ahead of whatever is going. You're going to go through something, right? It's going to happen. There's going to be something that happens in your life in 2020 that you didn't plan out. All my planners in this room, it'll freak you out. You didn't put it on your calendar. It wasn't on the 365-day plan. You're like, this was not supposed to happen in March. That's how two of my kids came, right? It's like, this was not supposed to happen, but we made it in December, right? They came. Anyway, I don't know what's special about March, but whatever. And so it's not on your plan. You did not plan this, and it happens. Don't allow it to happen and then to move. Move before something happens. See, to me, if you're in this room and you're like, life is great, what you do in strength will define you in your weakness. What you do in this moment, that's why you don't have hard conversations when you're emotionally upset. Nothing good is going to come from those. This is the reason 24-hour rule should be in every relationship, because you initially are not a good person to talk to when something just rocked you, right? So we need a 24-hour rule. Why? When you're strong, this is when we sit down and have hard conversations. This room today, and you're like, I'm strong. Things are well. What's your advice for me? Sign up for a small group. If you're in this room and you're like, I'm emotionally bankrupt. I feel like I have no friends. What should I do today? First Proverbs says, be friendly. That's where you start. Be nice. Put a smile on your face. Right? Be nice. Be friendly. If you want friends, be friendly. It's real elementary. The second thing is, if you're like, I need that, what do I do today? You sign up for a small group. So like every single one of us in this room, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to sign up for a small group. Like, are you saying you want 100% of the people come on a Sunday to sign up for a group? Actually, I'd like it to be more 105. You know why? Because I would love for people who have never been to your church, but I know a lot of your people.
That's so good.
You're in relationships. Yeah. I want you to invite someone and not say, hey, do you come to our church? I want you to go, hey, you're welcome. You're welcome no matter what. And if you're in this room, you're like, there's no real small group that I really want to be involved in. Like, there's no categories or anything like that. That's great. The Lord is telling you to start a small group.
Amen.
You know what that is? That is becoming solution-based people and not complainers. We say it all the time. If you got a problem, it's awesome. Point it out and let's move towards a solution. But if you're just a person that is pointing out the problem, really all we're doing is complaining. Right? So what is my job today? Start a small group. Be in a small group. If you're in this room and you've already signed, awesome. Encourage the person next to you to join in, okay? This is how we as a church have to be known, okay? Community. It's not Life Church. It's Life Community Church. It's very important. don't know how you guys do family and where your kids or how you are named. Like, to me, first name is good, but a middle name is very important because your middle name is called out in some of the most humiliating times, right? And a lot of you guys know this about me. I had nothing to do with it, but my full name is Larry James Bridges. Yeah, laugh. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's like, it's
Scottish laugh came over here.
Yeah, Lila laughing. Anyway, if I heard those names, those three names together, it meant something serious was about to happen. Usually it's from my mom. If it was from my dad, real serious, right? And if it's from my mom with afterwards going, when your dad comes home, double serious, all right? The point, we're in a serious moment as a church where great things are happening. And Life Community Church, it's time to go to another place. It's time to, okay? If you're a guest, you're like, what in the world did I just do? In fact, I would say it's probably a perfect Sunday for you to come and hear the heartbeat of who we are. So welcome. Thank you for being here today. Can I pray? And Sean and I are both going to pray, and we're going to end just this way, okay? We're ending this way, no band. We're ending just like, because I wanted us to leave with this moment of us praying, but also this moment of allowing God to speak to your heart. Because, and listen to what I'm about to say to you. I don't want you to sign up for a small group because I told you to, okay? Because about the week three mark, you're going to go, that guy is crazy. Why did I even sign up for this? I want you to sign up for a small group because you see it as something you need. And then here's what else I want us to pray. I want you to continue to pray all week. That prayer. Because I've heard testimonies of people that have left church and God got a hold of them and said, you missed out on something that happened this morning. Like praying that all week. If you want to know what we're praying, I'm praying God gets you. Praying God grabs you, gets a hold of your heart. Okay, that is our prayer. So pray, Sean, pray, and I'll close this out.
Lord, we thank you so much for a church that cares about what's going on in our lives. Asking us to show up on Sunday morning, then not worry about other stuff that happens Monday through Saturday. God, our heart is that people would connect with you first and continue to grow every area that you want them to grow. But we know, God, that we can't fully do that if we're not connected relationally. And so I pray that the walls that need to fall, God, that you've spoken to those walls this morning, and that we would not just trust, it wouldn't be about trusting people, it'd be about trusting you. God, you know what's best for us. And you've spoken loud and clear to our hearts. And God, you've called us in this season, in this year, in this new year, to make room, God, for relationships, to make room to connect. So God, I pray we wouldn't put a lot of thought to it. We just go do it. We just sign up and say, I'm to do what you want to do in my life through other people.
And God, I pray that you would soften our hearts. Even as we leave here today, God, I pray that we would value relationship, that we would value the invitation and being intentional and leading people into our lives. And just pray right now for those that are in relationships, those that there's been a past, and maybe there's a little bit of being tainted, or maybe there is a hesitation. God, I just pray that you would strengthen people to trust, strengthen people to believe again, strengthen people to take that next step. And God, I just pray as a church, we would never be the same again. God, that you would transform us through the power of relationship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, God. Thank you so much for being here today. Go shout it out, celebrate. You can't articulate, just say amen.